This is Senator Al Simpson. Some progress has been made on solving the drug crisis, and now we have to turn to getting tough on crime. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Fighting drugs and crime go hand in hand, Ted. Last year, we funded the president's drug strategy, and more arrests are being made, and huge quantities of drugs are being seized. However, Ted, the president's crime package is stalled out in committee, and it's up to you Democrats to join to break that logjam. We can't. President Bush said in his State of the Union address that drugs and crime are still a very top priority. But just like John Elway and the Super Bowl Denver Broncos, the president's going to need a powerful offensive line. Ted, are you going to be a team player and put your considerable bulk on the line to help move this one out?
Now, President Bush's proposal on crime and drugs aren't winning any cheers. They'd never have made it to any Super Bowl. As law enforcement officers keep saying, one reason we're losing the war on drugs is that law enforcement can't do the job alone. We need an equal effort on education and treatment to stop young Americans from starting drugs and help addicts break their habit. The war on drugs is a three-legged stool. If the president touts law enforcement but neglects education and treatment, the plan won't stand up. In other areas of crime fighting, the administration's plan is equally defective. They shortchange local police. They abolish strike force teams that have had real success against organized crime. They kowtow to the National Rifle Association by refusing to ban assault rifles and assault pistols that are turning decent neighborhoods into free fire zones. With this fouled-up anti-crime program, Al, no wonder criminals are laughing. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on President Bush's misguided capital gains tax cut for the rich. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The Bush administration's budget assumes the Berlin Wall is still up and the Cold War is still hot. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, it was supposed to be George Bush's first budget, but in spite of all the smoke and mirrors, it came out looking like Ronald Reagan's last one. It's a Rip Van Winkle budget. It still hasn't awakened to the changes in the world or the challenges here at home. Military spending is still going up when it should be going down. There's no real recognition of the momentous changes in the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe that have reduced our national security requirements. That means another year of big deficits and wasteful spending on B-2 bombers, Star Wars, and MX missiles. Another year of shortchanging schools, healthcare, housing, and the environment. Another year of phony, rosy scenarios while the economy declines. The Berlin Wall's down, Al. Why is administration's budget still trying to prop it up?
You're the authentic Rip Van Winkle, Ted. You babbled the same response to Ronald Reagan's first budget 9 years ago. Every year, about this same time, someone nudges you from slumber and you repeat the same tired stuff. Bush's alarm clock is ringing, Ted. You up yet? President Bush's budget calls for real cuts in troops, submarines, and ships. He wants the closing of unnecessary military bases in the U.S. The request is very much down. And the president is negotiating hard with Gorbachev for further reduction in troops in Europe. The Bush budget asks for more funding for programs like Head Start, Even Start, the environment, housing, NASA, National Science Foundation, even a family savings plan, things dear to your bosom. What's missing is a tax increase. Isn't that really what you wanted, Ted? Like in the Christmas Carol, wake up, man, it's 1990. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on progress to end apartheid in South Africa. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. The South African government and the African National Congress may soon be placing decades of hostility behind them. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Apartheid is gasping its last foul breath in South Africa. Hard to believe, isn't it, Ted? Nelson Mandela, the symbol of the repression of the black majority, is now working with President de Klerk to open negotiations between the government and the ANC that would lead to full political rights for blacks. It appears increasingly likely that Mandela will walk away from his life sentence in prison as a free man. But if you knee-jerk liberals have your way, we'll be slapping further sanctions on South Africa. And for what? Let's instead encourage the new willingness on the part of all, the ANC, Mandela, and de Klerk's government, to talk instead of fight. New sanctions would be plain poison to blacks, but you'll do it again to them, won't you, Ted?
Al, one of the things that makes you so endearing is the way you fluctuate between half-right and far-right. Today, you're half-right. The world is awaiting the release of Nelson Mandela from prison, where he spent the last 27 years as a martyr to the cruelty and injustice of apartheid. The walls of apartheid are crumbling down like the Berlin Wall. In spite of so many years languishing in jail, Nelson Mandela is a more powerful symbol than ever of a free South Africa. If fair elections were held in that troubled land today, Nelson Mandela would be the new president of a free South Africa. You're also far right, Al. One reason South Africa is making progress now is the tough economic sanctions Congress passed in 1986 over President Reagan's veto. You supported that shameful veto, Al. Nelson Mandela may soon be visiting the United States. You'll have a chance to explain your vote to him. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on President Bush's insensitive Chinese veto. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Republican senators took their eye off the ball on human rights in China. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, President Bush won a victory on China in the Senate the other day, but it was a defeat for democracy and human rights. After the massacre in Tiananmen Square, Congress passed a bill to protect Chinese students in the United States from being forced to return to China when their visas expire. The Chinese dictators didn't like that. To appease them, President Bush vetoed the bill, claiming he'd protect the students by executive order. The House of Representatives rejected that alternative as a sham and overrode the veto 395-20. But 37 Republican senators collapsed under White House pressure, so the president's shocking veto was sustained by the Senate. House Republicans deserve credit for supporting the courageous Chinese students. President Bush was wrong to kowtow to the Chinese dictators, Al, and you and the Republican senators were wrong to kowtow to the president.
You still don't get it, do you, Ted? Not a single Chinese student will be returned to China against their will and until it's safe. In a weak, honest moment, you'd say, too, that this was really a partisan battle over who sets foreign policy. President Bush lived there for a year and a half and has more knowledge about China than any person in Congress. He knows that the roots of fragile democracy were planted after the Chinese students were exposed to the West in cultural and exchange programs. Bush's policy toward China is working. In the past 7 months, 7,000 Chinese students have received visas to study in these United States. And when the time is right for them, these students will return to China to continue the thrust toward democracy. You smelled a fine opportunity to deal the president a political defeat. You failed miserably, and that's what really has you steamed up, ain't it, Ted? This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on cutting the Social Security tax. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Cutting the Social Security tax will not help to reduce the deficit. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, your liberal friend, Senator Pat Moynihan, has come up with a bill to roll back this year's Social Security tax increase. I'll fight that caper. There isn't a soul in the Congress who doesn't want to reduce the burden of Social Security, but where are we going to get that $55 billion it would cost to pay back the tax? The ratio of people taking benefit bucks out of the system keeps increasing faster than the number of folks putting bucks in. You don't have to be some math whiz to know that there won't be but a trickle left for our grandkids in the year 2030. Ted, fess up. Here is a political attack by you Democrats to try to get a very popular president to raise taxes. The American people don't want that. If you can't read Bush's lips, then read the people's lips. No new taxes for them, thank you.
Al, at least give Senator Pat Moynihan a little credit. He pointed out that the Emperor Simpson and the Reagan and Bush administrations have no clothes. For years, Republicans have been robbing the Social Security Trust Fund, taking billions of hard-earned tax dollars paid by working men and women for their retirement and using those funds to cover up the federal deficit. If a private employer did that to a pension fund, Al, he'd go directly to jail. He wouldn't even pass go. Let's agree, Al. No more tampering by the Bush administration with Social Security trust funds. No more covering up the deficit by covering it over with Social Security surplus. Pat Moynihan scored one other direct hit, Al. He pointed out the unfair burden of the Social Security payroll tax on workers and the injustice of President Bush's capital gains tax cut for the rich. Not a bad day's work by Pat Moynihan, Al. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on the true course of the Panama invasion. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The feel-good Panama invasion doesn't feel so good anymore. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, with U.S. troops coming home, it's worth reassessing the Panama invasion. No one questions the bravery of American forces. They carried out their mission with skill and courage. But even you must have doubts about the invasion, Al. The administration said it was necessary to save lives, protect the canal, restore democracy, and bring Noriega to justice. But the invasion violated the UN Charter and the OAS Charter. It cost more lives than it saved. 26 Americans killed, 500 Panamanians killed. The canal was closed for the first time in history because of the invasion. Military force is no substitute for failed diplomacy. No law gives us the right to impose democracy under the barrel of a gun. Stop cheerleading for the invasion, Al, and start thinking. Does the end justify the means? Does might make right? Does Al Simpson support the president, right or wrong?
Failed diplomacy. Since we put a 2,000-pound bomb in Gaddafi's 8-foot window on a moonless night, we haven't heard much out of that bum. It works. Cheerleading? I don't have to. President Bush did exactly the right thing. Manuel Noriega declared war on the United States. They murdered an American military officer and sexually threatened the wife of another. He laughed at a free election and then kneecapped his own people with a goon battalion. He continually stuck his big thumb in the eye of the civilized world by running drugs and laundering the money of the most wretched of the world's drug kingpins. The best and the brightest of our diplomatic community failed in every attempt to negotiate with him, and the economic sanctions only hurt the Panamanians. Noriega felt no pain. We had these rights under the Panama Canal Treaty, and we had a moral obligation to restore democracy to people who voted for it. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. The administration is very deadly serious about making force structure and weapons cuts in fiscal 91. Dick Cheney will make that happen. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, before releasing the DOD budget, Secretary of Defense Cheney declared a moratorium on most new military construction projects for 3 months. Cheney asked for a halt to new contracts, architectural and engineering designs for new projects, and a military-wide freeze on civilian hiring to try to get a handle on where we are with procurement. Cheney's mission is very clear. He is measuring the steps of military cuts while very seriously chopping away at the unnecessary defense fat. Ted, our former colleague, is wise in the ways of Congress, for he knows full well that Congress will try to make ever more deeper cuts. He's headed that one off at the pass. So, Ted, you Democrats can stockpile your grape shot and rockets. Dick Cheney already has the Pentagon standing at attention.
Al, the Pentagon really pulled the wool over your eyes this time. The Bush administration's military spending budget is just plain out of step with the realities of the modern world. The Berlin Wall is coming down, but the Star Wars budget is still going up. In Poland, Solidarity has moved from the picket line to Parliament, but the B-2 bomber is still moving down the Pentagon's multi-billion dollar runway. A peaceful revolution stopped the Cold War cold. It's already transforming Eastern Europe. But the only peace dividend this Republican administration has in mind is closing military bases in Democratic districts. Cosmetic fig leaves like moratoriums on military construction can't conceal the facts, Al. The Bush defense plan is a Rip Van Winkle budget that has not yet awakened to the changes in the world or the challenges here at home. The Reagan military buildup is dead, Al, but President Bush refuses to bury it. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on a Bush budget that shortchanges education. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The United States spends less on primary and secondary education than 13 other industrial nations. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, an authoritative study by the Economic Policy Institute sheds new light on the low priority America gives education. The administration claims we spend more on education than any other nation, but according to the study, the claim conceals a disturbing fact. When spending for college is factored out, and we look only at funds for kindergarten through 12th grade, the U.S. ranks 14th out of 16 industrial nations. 14th, Al. No wonder we're falling behind. It's no coincidence that the United States ranks near the bottom of industrial nations in educational performance, too. Education is one of the best investments we can make in America, Al. We get what we pay for. If we shortchange education, we shortchange our future.
I couldn't agree with you more, Ted. Education is one of the very best investments we can make in America, and boy, do we invest. The bottom line is that we spend $353 billion annually on education, state, local, and fed, more than any nation in the world. But Ted, you liberals continue to wallow at the taxpayers' trough, always begging for more. More spending sure doesn't mean more learning. That's been sadly proved. Our education system isn't underfunded. It's underproductive, overregulated, and overrun with programs. Our focus can't be on more resources. It has to be on results and good teachers, accountability, and get rid of tenure, a haven for the mediocre. With solid proposals for education in the works, merit schools, Head Start, scholars programs, we will keep the focus on performance. We don't need to milk the old public cow dry just to keep administrators and grant writers from going thirsty. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on the President's Drug Strategy. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. It is possible to get a grip on this country's plague of illegal drug abuse. Bennett and Bush have a plan. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, the President and the Drug Czar unveiled a 1990 drug control strategy that is intended to catch pushers, dealers, and that user with the crack in his pipe. The administration's $10 billion action package provides law enforcement in high-intensity drug trafficking areas. It calls for the death penalty for drug kingpins who supply to overdosers, and it requires a military presence in international air and water space. Tough medicine for an appalling plague. But you stop short every time, Ted. And also, the drug user will be held to task in the court system. A judicial penalty awaits those who choose to poison themselves. The President made an inaugural pledge that this scourge will stop. Come on, Ted, help us. Or do you always need a light tap on the head before you see any points of light?
Al, President Bush and Director Bennett deserve credit for the new urgency they've given to the war on drugs. We all agree on the need for action. Some of the administration's strategy is laudable, but much of it is laughable. The policeman on the beat knows law enforcement can't do the job alone, yet the administration neglects the only two ways to reduce demand for drugs: effective education and available treatment. Every school should provide drug education to help young pupils resist the destructive allure of drugs. Addicts willing to go cold turkey should get treatment now, not 6 months later because of crowded waiting lists. At the snail's pace of the Bush administration, we're decades away from those goals. We can't wait that long. Every student we don't educate, every addict we don't treat, is a potential criminal. In the war on drugs, Al, an ounce of education and treatment is worth a ton of law enforcement. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. A major new civil rights bill is launched in Congress. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, a bipartisan group in Congress has proposed a far-reaching new civil rights bill. Its purpose is to undo damage from a series of unfortunate Supreme Court decisions last year that caused setback after setback in the battle against discrimination. Civil rights has always been the unfinished business of America, and it still is. The anti-civil rights Reagan administration may have ended, but the Reagan appointees to the Supreme Court carry on, and they've tipped the balance against civil rights in too many harsh decisions, especially on race and sex discrimination. The White House is stalling, saying wait and see if legislation is really needed. But the need is clear. After one ruling alone, 96 claims of discrimination have been dismissed. Join me, Al. The Supreme Court may be retreating on civil rights, but it's no time for Congress or the White House to retreat, too.
Ted, you always see this country's glass as half empty. I see it half full. Truth is, the Supreme Court decisions that have you so riled up have not retreated at all from civil rights laws. What's happening is that after a quarter century of liberal social engineering, your preferred status concept of equality is being rejected and repudiated. Even the studies conducted by the country's most liberal organization show that your schemes benefit just a very small and, yes, elite segment of those in need. The 1989 Supreme Court decisions simply say that everyone, regardless of their race, has the same civil rights. There is nothing equal in forcing employers to hire because of race while ignoring a person's qualifications. The administration is on track in fighting for our equal rights, not special rights or preferences. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on troop reductions in Europe. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. The ice of the Cold War continues to thaw, and President Bush offers up dramatic plans for withdrawing more troops from Europe. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. President Bush has again baffled all of you dovish liberal critics, Ted. He has judged the developments in a swiftly changing world and decided that we deal with the Soviet Union to get deep troop reductions in Europe. He has recommended a cut of 80,000 U.S. troops. You're always clever and quick to criticize our president, Ted. The very day that George Bush was on the tube with Gorbachev to discuss these reductions, you were hammering his dome for being short-sighted with regard to developments in the communist bloc. The NATO forces have a very important defensive mission, and President Bush is setting our current force requirements at 195,000 men and women. Ted, why not give Bush credit for a pretty savvy assessment of our real present needs?
Al, I welcome President Bush's proposal for U.S.-Soviet troop cuts in Europe. But even you have to admit it wasn't a well-planned initiative. The White House was getting beat up pretty badly in Congress and the country. Their hardline Cold War military budget didn't fly. They pretended nothing had happened in Eastern Europe or the Soviet Union. Congress wasn't taking it seriously. So to cut their losses, they jammed a quickie troop cut fix into the President's State of the Union speech. At least the administration responds to pressure, Al. Let's hope the troop cut idea means they're ready for reduction in other areas of gold-plated military spending. If President Bush is willing to cut troops in Europe today, he may be prepared to cut Star Wars, MX missiles, and B-2 bombers tomorrow. Who knows, Al? There may actually be a pony called a peace dividend somewhere in the administration's budget. Let's keep digging. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on ending the bloodshed in El Salvador. Tune in Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. It's time to cut off U.S. military aid to El Salvador. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, the time has come to halt U.S. military aid to El Salvador. Our policy has failed. After $4 billion, 70,000 deaths, and endless destruction, we're as far as ever from our goal. The only real hope for peace is a negotiated settlement of the war. But as long as U.S. aid continues, the Salvadorian military will never negotiate in good faith. We're not fighting the Russians any longer in El Salvador, Al, if we ever were. After 10 years of bloodshed, it's time to stop shooting and start talking. Inevitably, the large amounts of U.S. aid have made the United States an accomplice in repression, gross violations of human rights, and the unconscionable atrocities of government death squads. I condemn the guerrillas too, Al, but they're not getting U.S. military aid. Let's cut it off. Cut it all off and give peace a fighting chance.
Ted, you've been fighting every president, tooth and nail, on aid to El Salvador since time began. Nothing's changed for you. But in El Salvador, things have changed. That country has been pressing toward democracy. Salvadorian President Cristiani is making a sincere effort to improve conditions there. He's pushing for peace talks with his opposition. Cristiani's own investigators have led to the arrest and indictment of an officer and seven soldiers, who are believed to be responsible for the brutal and vicious slayings of six Jesuit priests last year, and they are being prosecuted. Punish honesty and reform? Sure, there are shortcomings in the Salvadorian system, but the people elected him fairly, and they support Cristiani. Their struggle for democracy will surely fail if you have your way, Ted, and that will be your burden. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on improving health conditions for minorities. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Health and Human Services Secretary Louis Sullivan is leading the charge to improve health conditions for minorities. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, Secretary Sullivan recently used the bully pulpit of his office to snuff out a wholly offensive marketing campaign. I'm referring to the promotion of a new brand of coffin nails called Uptown. The Targets of this slick campaign were black Americans, and after Sullivan unholstered his guns, the tobacco boys and their advertisers were out of town before sunset. Now Sullivan has also presented us with a minority health plan that emphasizes family support systems, health education in schools, and improved access to health care, especially for pregnant women and minority children. And he wants to add to the numbers of minority persons entering the health care profession. My hat's off to Sullivan, Ted. Have you anything to say without sounding like you're ranting?
Al, my hat's off to Secretary Sullivan, too. He exposed that racist cigarette marketing scheme, and R.J. Reynolds was right to drop its disgraceful plan. But no one's taking any hats off to Al Simpson on tobacco, except tobacco companies. While the battle rages for tougher anti-smoking laws, old Al is on the sidelines, right where the tobacco lobby wants you. Sure, you applaud politely when the battle's over and the verdict's in, like Secretary Sullivan's courageous attack on Uptown cigarettes. But some of us are out there fighting on his side, not just sitting in the grandstand. Cigarette advertising's been a national scandal for years. They intentionally target women, minorities, and the young. Last November, I introduced legislation to stop those abuses and require the federal government to regulate tobacco, like any other product, hazardous to health. Take a deep, smoke-free breath, Al. Challenge the tobacco lobby where it counts and join this effort. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on nuclear arms control. We're moving too slowly. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The Bush administration is missing an opportunity for progress in a key area of arms control. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, the Bush administration deserves credit for progress in many areas of arms control, but it's hard to see why the White House is stonewalling proposals to eliminate U.S. and Soviet nuclear weapons at sea. Banning these nukes is to our advantage, Al. They're the most serious Soviet threat to our aircraft carriers, the backbone of our Navy. Nuclear weapons are the great equalizer. Without them, the Soviet Navy is no match for the U.S. fleet. When Soviet leader Gorbachev offered to ban these weapons at the Malta summit, he was sending us a message. His real priority is perestroika. All his other reforms are in trouble, and so is he, unless he succeeds in shifting Soviet military resources to domestic use. Arms control is a bargain for both nations, Al. Let's take this deal now, while we can still get it.
Ted, naval arms control is not currently on the bargaining table between the U.S. and the Soviet Union, but that's only because the Soviets would, in reality, have very little to offer us in those negotiations. Our Navy is far superior to the Soviet fleet. Why wouldn't they want us to negotiate? You're back to your old, tired, same old theme, Ted. Let the Soviets have what they want. Give away the store. Appease, appease. And, Ted, surely you remember that our aircraft carriers are more vulnerable to submarine attack than to any nuclear weapon strike at sea. President Bush is making some remarkable strides in arms control. You just can't stand it, so you're really trying to outpiece him. Give it up, Ted. Take off your battered old Secretary of Defense hat. Leave it in the President's very capable hands. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on funding for education by our education president, George Bush. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. President Bush pledged that he would be the education president. His budget surely backs that up, and he starts strongly with Head Start. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, President Bush has proposed an increase of $500 million for the highly successful preschool program called Head Start. This shows that deep commitment to early childhood education, providing a head start for 180,000 additional four-year-olds. That's 70% of all the nation's eligible children. George Bush knows how important it is for all children, disadvantaged or not, to walk into the first day of school raring to go. Head Start is one of our great success stories. It's growth, readiness, and achievement-oriented. The President has lived up to his promise. It's up to Congress to do it, but it won't be enough for you. Always more, 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 eh, Ted?
Hogwash, Al. How can you say with a straight face that President Bush is living up to his promise to be the education president? In fact, his education budget clearly breaks his promise. The administration's proposal would leave education worse off next year than this year. Sure, funds will be going up for a few key programs like Head Start, but that's the exception, not the rule. Dick Darman and those city slickers in the Office of Management and Budget are at it once again, Al, bamboozling old country bumpkin Simpson. Listen up, Al. You've got to watch what they do, not what they say. President Bush's budget for education doesn't even cover the increased cost due to inflation in the past year. If the president gets his way, education will get 2% less funding compared to last year. That's a real cut, Al. Education presidents don't cut education budgets, not if they're serious about improving education. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on Bill Bennett and the proper role of education in the war on drugs. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Drug Director Bill Bennett has a very strange view about the role of education in the war on drugs. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, Drug Director Bill Bennett came to Capitol Hill the other day and promptly put his foot in his mouth by doubting the importance of education in the war on drugs. Ignorance may be bliss, Al, but it's costly too. We can't afford to declare war on drugs and then fight it with one hand tied behind our back. Study after study demonstrates that education works. Children taught about the dangers of drugs are much less likely to become drug users. In 1986, while Bill Bennett was Secretary of Education, his department published a widely hailed pamphlet emphasizing that anti-drug education works. The pamphlet's introduction called it critical that the war on drugs be focused on the schools. Guess what, Al? That introduction was written by none other than Bill Bennett. Sounds like he needs a refresher course himself.
Ted, we all saw Bill Bennett going toe-to-toe with you in Judiciary Committee the other day, and now we're hip-deep in more of your liberal ranting. Education, treatment, and prevention are priorities of drug strategy, too. It seeks funding increases for all three. Bennett's plan calls for an added $50 million in drug-free school grants, $25 million in emergency grants to education agencies, $50 million in grants for community prevention programs, and a demonstration grant program to provide high-risk areas with educational and recreational programs. Ted, you actually tried to turn the Drug Strategy 2 plan into some goofy gun control plan. Bennett laid it right on you when he said, "All your rhetoric makes good press, but you're only looking for a cheap, symbolic victory." You better reread his whole chapter, Ted. You sure missed something. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System.